Paraventure Oshkosh 2017 is about a month ahead of a very unusual celestial event. And we're talking with Kristen Erickson, who's with NASA headquarters in the Science Directorate, about how NASA is telling people about the upcoming total solar eclipse. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. It's just a thrill to be here. I've been a member of EAA for many years now, and this is something that we all look forward to at NASA.
Well, the timing is pretty great to get the word out about what to expect and how to do so safely. So what is NASA's mission in that regard?
Well, my main job at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C. is to share the science. And so we have been working for at least three, some of us have been working for 5 years or more on this eclipse that's coming up. We call it the total solar eclipse. It's going from the west coast to the east coast for the first time in 99 years in our nation.
How many people do we expect will be within the area of totality?
110 million within the path, but our nation has about 325 million as of last year's census, and anyone can drive to what we call that 60 or 70 mile swath of the moon's shadow.
Now, we've been talking for almost 2 minutes, and I don't think either of us have said the date.
August 21st, it's a Monday, when in our country it's going to go from day to night and then back to day. That night time will be over 2 minutes, depending on location. In the middle of the day, Mike.
So from the time we see, let's say that you're in the area of totality, from the time we see the sun starting to get oddly dark, mm-hmm. to the time it's back again, there's 2 minutes in the middle of total darkness. How long is that whole time?
It's about a three-hour event. So, for example, if we start in Oregon, Salem, Oregon, where NASA will have one of our broadcast locations, it'll start about 9 o'clock a.m. their time. And it'll end about 11:30 or so, by the time the moon covers the sun completely and then goes on its way from right to left if you're looking up at the sky.
So let's talk about observation first, ground-based, and then aloft. There's more technology than there has ever been to be able to look at this thing from the ground. What are some of the noteworthy capabilities and points of observation that NASA's got responsibility for?
Well, you know, the moon is nature's best sunblock. And what makes the scientists so excited is that when that point of totality occurs, the scientists will be able to see the inner corona of the sun. Corona is the sun's atmosphere, if you will, in ways that we can't see any other way, even from space. And so that's what they're looking forward to. We have solar telescopes on the ground. We have partnered with 6,800 libraries have signed up so far. Along the path, we have 68 what we call Citizen Kate sites, where we have trained students along the entire width of the country to look at the exact same observation using the exact same solar telescopes. These are solar telescopes that the location can keep after the event because we have other celestial events coming up. But when you think about on the ground 68 similar data points, that's what scientists look for, is those calibration methods. There are these solar polar plumes that will be, well, that they happen all the time. We just aren't able to see them. So those are the phenomena that these scientists are looking for. But one of the things that I'm here this week to stress is the safe solar viewing by all of our participants on the ground. So NASA has a website. It's eclipse2017.nasa.gov. Anything that you possibly could imagine, from weather to traffic to science to education and engagement, is on that site. We have used this as a one-stop shop with our partners, like at NOAA and Department of Transportation and the National Park Service. But the main thing that has happened recently is we have put out, we have manufactured with our partners safe solar viewing glasses.
But I see you have one right there, and it looks like the old 3D glasses that we used to get in magazines and cereal boxes way back when to look at 3D photographs.
Exactly. And they're very, very kind of, you know, retro, as you say. But in February, we started seeing unsafe solar viewing glasses flood the market. And so when we created our field testing, like we recommend everybody going out and doing, practice before Monday, August 21st, to view the sun safely. Don't wait till that day. But you can stop by the NASA booth and get free glasses that are safe. Now, the ones that aren't safe, they may have the requisite ISO certification markings, but they don't say where they're manufactured. And unfortunately, the ones that are coming in from China and other sources are not safe for solar viewing.
Talking with Kristen Erickson from NASA headquarters in the Science Directorate about the solar eclipse on August 21st. Can you tell by just looking at them? Because I'm holding this up to the office fluorescent light here, and I'm seeing nothing coming through.
Well, the ones that you're holding are the NASA ones, and
right.
They have a thick lens by design. The ones that are the fake ones, if you will, look very similar in the markings, but they don't have the manufacturer's name and address.
Oh, I see. So I've got an unsafe version right now. I'm holding it up to the light. There's still no light coming through.
Perhaps, but look how they're wrinkled. Look, and you can only see this side by side. See how the lenses aren't really, you know, the same quality.
Right.
Okay?
So this is the sound the unsafe one makes.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm wrinkling, this is the sound the NASA one makes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
And so we have distributed over 3 million glasses around the country with our partners. Unfortunately, that's just about 1% of the potential population. But here at Oshkosh, at EAA AirVenture, we are really stressing the safety aspect of safe solar viewing because we know that safety is number one here with our participants, too. And if you don't have a chance to have a safe solar viewing glasses, you can use number 14 welder's glass or above. Anything less than 14 is not safe. And then, of course, you can always have something simple like a kitchen colander with all the holes in it. It's kind of a makeshift pinhole projector. And then let that sun stream through and show the shadows on the ground. And you can watch the moon take a chunk out of that beautiful sun image during the eclipse.
So that's a cool idea. Does each hole in the colander make its own image?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like a
dappled
kaleidoscope.
Indeed.
Oh,
indeed.
Fun.
So that's kind of fun. We have other ideas on the website, eclipse2017.nasa.gov, of making your own pinhole projector. But to me, that's kind of fun, and it's an easy way. To engage.
That was my next question, because I made a pinhole projector in 1970 when I was near the area of totality, but I didn't understand the concept, and so the hole was about 2.5 inches big, because I thought that little tiny pinhole, how can that possibly let in enough light? In my pinhole camera, the sun was full circle the whole time, but now I get the difference.
Well, the main thing is when you use those colanders, don't use them to look through the holes at the sun, make the sun look through the holes to the ground.
Right. With your pinhole camera, turn it around so that your back is to the pinhole.
Indeed.
Right. What can we expect sort of after the eclipse? What sort of reporting out will NASA be doing at that point?
Well, NASA has, with our partners, 11 spacecraft that are observing the eclipse. These are from vantage points from geospace orbit to look at the Earth and that shadow, which almost looks like a bruise moving along the continent. We also have spacecraft, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, at the Moon that orbits the Moon looking down, but in this case, they've been realigning the orbit to be able to look back at Earth. So we'll get those images from LRO back 24 hours. Now, the cool thing, one of the major cool things, is that the astronauts are going to be observing the eclipse. Their orbit is over Canada right at the right time when the eclipse starts. We hope to get that real-time imagery down to Johnson Space Center and then to our mission control for our four-hour live program on the 21st, in time for it to be the showcase element at the end of the program. But for the aviators in the listening audience, NASA has a Gulfstream 3 that is going to be over the Pacific Ocean and the Oregon, Salem, Washington area to have those first eyes of NASA of the eclipse and to look at the spectrograph of the sun before, during, and after. So that's going to start our show. We have, again, sites that we're broadcasting from, not only Salem, Casper, Wyoming, Idaho Falls, Idaho, Madras, Oregon, where I'll be. We have the Beatrice, Nebraska, where a national park. By the way, Mike, did you know that there are 20 national parks in the path?
That's cool.
20 national parks.
That'll make for a great camping weekend, won't it?
Oh, my goodness. And they have been just such a great partner. You know, they know how to do major events. You know, think about the National Mall during 4th of July. So they know how to handle large crowds. So there's 20 national parks, and we'll be at Beatrice Homestead in Nebraska. Great Smokies National Park is another broadcast site.
Say one more time the resource website you mentioned earlier.
Eclipse2017.nasa.gov.
And while you're on the grounds this week, pick up the Actually Safe observation glasses from the NASA booth in the Innovations Pavilion, right?
That's correct. That's correct. We're in the, right as soon as you walk in, we're in the gateway.
Great. Wonderful. Kristen Erickson from NASA headquarters, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll all be looking up, hopefully safely, middle August.
Look forward to it.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.